morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon, and we are starting in an effort to give all the candidates that are running for office, we have started, is the proper term, to give them a half hour on air to tell us about themselves, what they hope to do, what they hope to accomplish. I have the honor of having with me this morning Earl Persip. Full disclosure, been friends a long time. But I do want to thank Earl, and I will do it, all of them. Thank you for throwing your hat in the ring to run for public office. And really and truly, good luck. Good luck. That's all I can say. So without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, my friend and city council at large candidate and up for re-election, my friend Earl Persip.
How are you this morning?
Well, I'm older, fatter, and balder than I was the last time you saw me, but all in all, I'm still alive. So there's all that counts.
That's true.
Earl, tell us why you're running again.
I mean, the main reason is I continue to want to move Pittsfield in a forward direction. I want to be the voice of reason. I want to bring a kind of different perspective than I think we get on the council from others. So that's one of the main reasons I continue to run. I enjoy it. I enjoy the work. It can be challenging at times, which I like. And I like getting, I've said this in the past to you, I like helping people with the most simplest things.
Yeah.
It affects their day-to-day lives and it makes them happy. And something on a street that someone's, the other day on a side street, a very busy side street, but there was an issue with the curbing and we got curbing put in. The residents up at that part of the street were very happy. It's those simple things where you can go to get everybody involved, meet them on their street, get the solution done and get it done in a timely manner. Those kind of things are, positive part of doing the work. So those are the things that make you kind of want to rerun again each year.
And in the past, what do you feel you've accomplished as a city councilor? I think it's important that people hear that being a city councilor, you take care of the people, and to me that's really an important thing.
I mean, there's been so many things over the 8 years; it's hard to keep the list tallied up. There's been many things. I think one of the main things is kind of holding public works accountable for some of the projects they're doing behind the scenes. I think, when it came to police body cameras, I was very supportive of that.
Yeah.
When it came to funding the wastewater treatment plant, I was very, advocate for that. Came to changing over, I know, the dreaded trash recycling toters. I know we survived that crisis altogether. That and that ended up being a positive, as I hear very, very little complaints about it now. And it's saving the city lots of money each year. And so there's things like that. And there's also, I think it's advocating for what the residents need and want and holding people accountable. I've always told people in City Hall before, sometimes when people in City Hall, they work in City Hall 5 days a week. They live, they breathe it. And they think everybody understands what they understand or know what they know. So these past 8 years, I've been pushing and pushing and pushing for people to be more open-minded, how you communicate with people, what we're saying to people, what people actually do know, what people actually don't know. So it's things like that that I'm proud of that I've done in the last 8 years. Like I said, I think at times the council over the years can get a go off course, and it's, reeling them back in and bringing common sense back to the conversation. I think that's important. Sometimes when you get 11 elected officials at one desk and you're discussing something that's heated throughout the community, someone needs to lead and bring common sense back to those conversations. So I think I do that.
And don't you think too sometimes that when we stop to see when you're on the council, I used to do this with Lou Markham, God rest his soul. People think that when you guys vote, it's the first time you've ever heard of it. They don't always understand that it comes from committees, petitions. Excuse
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, if you looked at the agenda is 1 or 3 pages long, 4 pages long. But what follows up in that agenda? There's a lot of paperwork. So if you actually looked at the whole agenda, it can be 300 pages to 700 pages, right? With all the
Yeah.
information that we're actually reading and going through. So it's definitely important to know that aspect of it. Then it could have been at committee for who knows. I know everybody likes to watch, you know, the people that watch. I know people that watch everything, right? Like
Yeah.
yourself.
Yeah.
There's people that watch just the city council meetings. They don't watch subcommittee meetings. There's, you know, there's many things before a vote happens. Very rarely do we take a vote the very first time. You know, grants and things and smaller things. Yeah, we do that stuff. But when it comes to something, you know, let's bring back the garbage. You know, before we talk about that. That was years in the making, right? And there's
Yeah.
people out there that don't pay attention at all and they don't know, and we've been talking about it, or you know, the wastewater treatment plant. They don't know this has been 30 years of neglect and kind of kicking the can down the road. They didn't know that at the time. So it's our jobs to communicate that to people, you know, the best you can. It's having conversations with people, listening to people, and helping them understand is important because there's a reason we're elected.
Yeah.
If we didn't have an elected body, we'd have a town meeting kind of format, town, you know,
Yeah.
where everybody voted. But there's a reason we're a big city. We elect people to take votes and do the work and act accordingly. So I think that's what we try to do sometimes. And you know, you have to ignore the noise. You're going to hear a lot of noise. You're going to see a lot of things on social media where it's just a lot of misinformation. So you have to get through that to help people understand. So they have all the information, so they're comfortable with the vote you
Yes.
made.
Yeah, and you know what has been and this maybe is an unfair question, but what has been the one of the what has been the most challenging thing you have faced while on the council?
I think for me, it's when you see a fellow counselor go against something where they have information and data that supports, let's say, a yes vote or a no vote,
Yeah.
and they're going the opposite way just to challenge the administration,
Yeah.
challenge the thought of moving forward. You know, we had all, you know, I go keep going back to kind of trash and recycling, but it's just an easy one because everyone can kind of understand it. Is we had all this data, we had all this proof, we couldn't continue. We couldn't continue to go forward the way we were. You know, the Viacom that, you know, we knew it was eventually, we had a feeling, I had a feeling, we eventually was going to end up closing. It wasn't sustainable the way it was. So we were trying to put our ducks in a row before it closed.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because of delays, because people didn't understand, and it goes back to taking that tough vote. We have data, we have information. Everyone is not going to look at that information and data because they don't want their daily lives disturbed and they're thinking this is going to be a bad thing.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of, you got to kind of, like I said, get through the weeds on that stuff and understand what that vote was a positive vote. And in the long run, everyone kind of got used to it. It's not a system that's going to work for every single resident.
No,
It's there's
no.
no system, there's no system in the world, right?
And
There's no cost-efficient system in the world, I'll say that, right?
yeah,
But there's
not.
we had good things in this system, and we had good conversations around it, and people ignored those. But that's one of the tougher things is like when you know somebody knows the information, and they're just taking that other vote just
Out of
because.
spite, almost.
Yeah. So that's the tougher thing is when you understand someone you respect and know, and you know,
Yeah.
I have respect for everybody on the council now, and it's more of like sometimes. Know this smart person in your world is has this data and information and they're still doing this. So that's hard to understand is like, and it's hard. I've always said people need to understand I have a different view, they'll have a different view. But when
That's
you go
right.
against the view, just to go against the view, that's the most struggling thing. So.
I can't agree with you more. It's sometimes it's I set out, as you know, I watched them all. I would add, what you guys do. I know what you're saying because there's times that I'm saying, what are you doing? You're prolonging the misery, I guess.
And it's more of like, hey, if you disagree and you have good reasons to disagree, let's disagree at each other.
All
Let's
right.
come with a solution that will work, that makes us, if we're making it better, if we're disagreeing to make things better,
Right.
I agree with that. Let's do it. If you have a disagreement and you think I'm viewing something wrong, and you can show me that, and you have a better solution, and I have my input, and we come together and work out a better plan than we did,
Yep.
there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's not, I appreciate that, but when it's a no just to be a no, and you don't have a solution, the solution is your solution is just no, not this.
Yeah.
Those are the things that, we have to get by. And, it's hard to, like I said, 11 different personalities up there, so you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, and it, you know, what do you think the biggest challenges facing the city for the next 2 years that you're going to have to deal with?
I think housing and housing in general, all of our housing stock. And I've been saying this for years and we've been talking about it for years. We have 100 and something apartments, low income, transitional
Yeah.
housing coming online. That's wonderful news. Let's celebrate it. Yes. But we still have problems in that income bracket. We have problems in higher income brackets.
Yeah.
Our rents are crazy because
Crazy.
our rental stock is so depleted, and there's nothing in the stuff that's been around for years. We have degenerate landlords that don't live here, that don't take care of properties. So that limits the amount of good properties, which raises the rents up. So housing, I would say number one, getting the schools back in order is number two. Number three is public work issues. And if someone disagrees with my order, like
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Those three are like my top three. There's many more
Yeah.
out there. If you think, Wakona Parks should be not, there's plenty of things out there. I'm just giving you,
Yeah.
as this interview is going on, my head is like, what do I think is going to happen the next 2 years is going to be those kind of things
Yeah.
those are important.
And you know, I think people should listen because you're seasoned. You know what I mean? You've been on the council. You've been in the downtown area. You've been an active city participant since you were a kid. So I think that at least listen to it's open. Anything's open for debate. You know, when I started this program, I said this: everybody has a right to be on. You, I don't have to like you. You have a right to be
Yes.
on. We are Pittsfield Community Radio. We are Pittsfield
Of
Community
course.
Television.
And we
And
need to listen to the different views of people, and that's how
yeah,
we get better, right?
I believe so. But the other piece is this: it's okay to disagree, but I won't tolerate you being disagreeable.
Yep, you
And
can disagree finally.
you and I have had great discussions. What do you find to be the most rewarding part of being a city councilor? And I think I know the answer, but I want you to say
I said it earlier, it's
it.
basically helping like those things that don't make the newspaper or a city council meeting. It just helps a neighborhood solve a problem,
Yep.
something simple, because that's what people see day to day. They don't If you don't follow city politics, you don't follow city council meetings, you go to work, you go to your children's events, and you go home. The things at home in your neighborhood, those are
Yeah.
important to you. And most of the time, it's pretty funny. People think they're hard issues to deal with. Most of the time, they're pretty easy issues. Getting someone connected with the right person at City Hall or the right department, or put in the right petition to do something to help them. Now, going back to what happens in the next 2 years, right? Government's slow. So
Yeah.
it could take a while. The
Yeah.
street I was giving you as example of earlier, it wasn't a quick, the curbing was a quick fix, but the whole street itself was not a quick fix. There's been many issues going on dating
I
back
had
years.
hair when you started discussing garbage.
Yeah, exactly. So there's, 2 years is a very short time, especially in city government. Things, for some reason, and it's every city government, it's every government, it moves at a snail's pace at best, right? Things are not fast. So you have to understand that. And that anybody that tells you they're going to do this, this, and this in 2 years, well, no one can do anything by themselves. There's 11 people up there, right? So anybody that tells you they're going to do something by themselves or without collaboration with other counselors, a red flag for me, right? Because you have to work, you have to convince five of your other counselors, sometimes six of your other counselors, seven of your other counselors to get something done. So you have to be collaborative and work together and be able to do that and change people's minds and convince them. So it's not what I can do by myself. It's what I can do to convince other counselors to get things moving in a positive way.
It's a collaborative, is what I tell people just getting into this business. Don't, pretty much what you just said. Don't say you're going to do something. You will work with the council to do something.
And the administration, we're
And
not
it,
like we're not this. You're not elected to just give the administration a hard time. You're elected to challenge them and hold them accountable, correct? But you're not elected to not challenge them, to just give them a hard time over and over again and just say no to everything and just say no to all spending. That's not what we're here to
That's
do.
right.
We're here to hold on to the pocketbook, right? And make sure the money doesn't go flying out or get misused. But everything is not a challenge. That's not our role either. Our role is to work together to get things done. We're all here for the same reason, make Pittsfield a better place. Making Pittsfield a better place is not just saying no to the administration or saying no to
Right.
everything. It's not saying yes to everything either. It's not that
No,
either.
no.
So,
I like, I be candid, I like the way the committees deliberate. I watch them all. I really do. And but sometimes, and this has been asked of me, why are the counselors so disrespectful? And I'm to some of the department heads. You know, and I don't see it as disrespectful. I see it as questioning.
Yeah, I would say for me, and I'm only going to speak for me, I try not to be disrespectful or questioning. At times you get frustrated. I mean, there's many conversations that happen not at city council meetings, right? Right? You'll be emailing, you'll be making phone calls to that department. And if they're not responsive, yes, you will be frustrated and you will look disrespectful at times. I've been frustrated myself. I try not to be. When department heads work with me, I work with them. And a lot, the majority of the time that happens. And once in a while, yes, department heads will get frustrated with us. We'll get frustrated with them. Anybody that's worked a job knows that that happens in a working relationship. So that conversation that you're probably seeing at a city council meeting has been many more conversations. Or now, some people do just challenge department heads because they feel like they have to. Right. That's not how I do. That's why I said I speak for me. I try to have conversations beforehand, understand where they're coming from, because a lot of the times they're the expert in their department. That's why we hire them. I have opinions and I don't know everything about community development. I don't know everything about the police department or fire department. I'm not a police officer. I'm not a firefighter. Right. Do I think I know some things and I think I have some understanding? Correct. That's why I go ask those questions, have a conversation, understand where they're coming from. They are the person that works in that department. Just because I'm elected doesn't make me a professional and an expert at everything, right? Let's be honest.
But the other piece too, and I think it's important that folks understand, your background, and other than being on the council, he has an entirely new other life. He's
Yes, we have day jobs. It's weird enough, right?
he's a manager, he's a dad, he's a husband. And I guess where I'm going is, how does this fit into your all overall life? Because I think there's some people that just don't understand the time commitment This is
Yeah,
not,
it's
this has
hectic.
been
It's
Tuesday
hectic.
night.
Yeah, no, it's a hectic schedule. It can get overwhelming at times. You know, I'm a guy with young children. I missed the last council meeting because I got sick from one of the children. Like that happens. That happens a lot more when you have younger children.
My
But you
wife was a
know,
teacher. They're like petri dishes.
yeah, it's like as soon as they went back to school, boom. It's you take time away from them. You have to have a supportive home life. You have to have a supportive, you know, because I can't, you know, my when I go to meetings, my daughter and son, where are you going, Daddy? Where are you going? I would tell them, going to save the city, like give them something special that's like say something just
Yeah.
so they don't understand when I'm going to a city
Oh, how
council
cool.
meeting.
That's wonderful.
So I say like funny things to them like that. But yeah, the time commitment is there. You know, as a young father, I used before I had kids, I used to go to every single event. I used to go to every single fundraiser.
Yes, you did.
I choose not to do that so much anymore because I take so much time away from my kids. If I can bring them to an event, we go, right? But they have lives too. They play sports. They have friends now. My daughter has friends now. So those things, you know, I'm less and less at a maybe a fundraiser or a community event like I used to be. And we'll go back as my kids get older and where there are more things they can go to. But I've brought my daughter to standouts and fundraisers and events. And when we can go, we go. Like, you know, veterans things at the parks or, you know, there's a memorial. I bring her. I've walked her in the parade. But there's a lot to do and there's always something. And sometimes if you're retired, you can do a lot of those things. If you're a young family person, you can't do as many things, but I try to make up for those things in other ways and making sure I'm at the meetings, making sure I'm pretty participating in the conversations. Because that's the most important part. Still out there talking to people and you know things like that. So it's a time commitment, and depending on your day-to-day life, my job's very supportive of my, you know, my role as a city councilor. My boss is very open to me. Like I'm going to the ballot drawing later today. I'll take my lunch break and head down there and come back to work. Not a big deal, right?
Good for you.
And they never now. If something comes up at work and I can't go, right? I
That's
wish some
kind of.
people, I do wish some people would hold events past the work day. Some of these day events during the work day, they're tough to get to.
One last question. We're kind of, if reelected, how do you feel, or how do you think the city should? Have I read it? I have my questions here. If reelected, how do you think the city should deal with the challenges that you have mentioned before? And save a few minutes for a closing statement.
I think, you know, facing challenges is something we talked about. It's work collaborative together, right? Work together, listen to other people. We're not just, like I said, just because we're elected doesn't mean we're experts in everything. Listen to residents that have input, listen to department heads that have input, listen to the administration, work together. We are best, Pittsfield's at its best when we stand together and, you know, we've talked about this in the past. Pittsfield, if someone gets sick and there's a fundraiser, Pittsfield always shows up. We're always
Always,
supportive.
always,
We're
always.
a great
Live
place
all
like
over the
that.
world, never seen anything
Yep.
like that.
Yep. We're very supportive. We can be very argumentative at times too, but when we work together, we get the most the positive results. And that's how we get those things we talked about earlier together, is like getting people to work together and understanding that. And bringing common sense to those conversations and truth to those conversations is what will get us in the right direction, right?
I
And
agree.
just because you don't agree with everything doesn't mean you're 100% right or I'm 100% right or I'm 100% wrong or wrong. It doesn't matter. It's what's best or the best outcome we can achieve because always realizing someone else has a different opinion will help you get the best results. And that's what we need to make sure we're doing.
And I would say that as a collaborative body, for the most part, it works. We get things done, major things. May you know, not to belabor this, but they kicked that can about trash down the road since, like I said, you and I had hair. And finally somebody had to make us draw a line in the sand or make a stand or whatever the term is. And it's worked out very well. Has there been glitches? whenever you do something of that magnitude, there's going to be glitches.
There was glitches in the system beforehand, so it's the same thing.
Disregard us knowing each other for a long time. I have the utmost respect for you as a person, as a dad, as a husband, and as a counselor. Do I always agree with you? No, but that's okay. Sooner or later, people got to understand it's okay not to always agree, because then you're nothing but a rubber stamp, and we've had those in the past.
Exactly. That's what we talked about. Saying yes to everything is not great either, as in saying it's just as bad as saying no to everything,
Yeah, exactly. Earl, 3 minutes for closing, or your closing statement. I'll even give you four if you're good.
I mean, closing statement, I continue to work for the people at Pittsfield. I want to continue to work for the people at Pittsfield. I think I've done a great job over the last 8 years. I feel like I'm a leader on the council when at times when it calls for a voice. I sit back when it doesn't call for a voice and other voices need to be heard. I think it's important. I think it's important to be out there in the community, speaking with people, having conversations, understanding what they want, and explaining our thought process as a council or as a city. And so I will continue to do those things. I will continue to listen, learn is important. I will continue to learn things and know things and try to understand what people think is the best solutions for the problems we have in Pittsfield. I also understand we are not a unique place where issues aren't happening. Issues are happening everywhere. So we have to also understand that. And we also have to understand we may not have all the answers, and we'll look forward, we'll look out beyond the Berkshires to see where solutions are working and maybe bring those here and implement those here. And so I will be that voice to do those things. I will hold city departments accountable when it's needed
Sure.
and when they need to address things. And I will be collaborative with other counselors and the administration to get those things done. And if you want a counselor like that, collaborative, thinking outside the box, outside the circle, I say, that's me. So I hope that I can get your vote in November for another 2 years on the city council.
Let me say this. Thank you. You are a busy family man, have a very responsible position. Thank you for running again. And I'll be holding a counseling session for you later on today.
Thank you. I'll need it.
Earl Persip. Now, folks, here's the thing. You might like Earl, you might like not like whatever. If you don't vote, that's on you.
Yep, I think it's important to stress, make sure people get out and vote no matter who you vote for.
That's
I
right.
think turnout will be low. Hopefully we'll have good weather that day. That always helps. But these off-year elections are important to get out and vote and still make your voices heard no matter who you vote for. So please get out and do it. If you listen to this program, get out and vote and make sure you get out there and do that.
Thank you, Earl, for coming on. My best to your family and to you, and as I said, good luck, and thank you for your service to the city, and I appreciate it. Folks,
Thank you for having me on.
let's remember, folks, okay, as we said during this interview, let's try to lift people up, not push people down. Kindness costs nothing. Talk to you soon.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
At Pittsfield Community Television, we have a saying, anyone can learn to create television. With the support of trained production staff, we can teach you how to professionally operate a camcorder, use editing software to tell a story, work as a team in a production studio, and take those skills into the community. If you've been curious as to how video production works, we'd love to have you as a member. Visit us online at pittsfieldtv.org or call us at 445-4234 for more information.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 28, 29, 30 minutes. It all depends. This is our WTBR and PCTV believe in getting every candidate an opportunity, if they wish, to come on and do a half an hour of why they're running for office, what they bring to the office. This morning, I have with me a wonderful young lady. I've met her through just trying to set this up, Corey Francis Walker. And I can't tell you, I'm so happy. She's been so cooperative through this whole thing. And believe me, folks, this isn't as easy as it looks. Trust me. But first of all, Corey, please introduce yourself and tell us something about yourself.
Hi, my name is Corey Walker. I'm from Ward 2. I'm currently running for the Ward 2 City Council seat. I was born and raised in Pittsfield, and I really like it here. I'm really proud to be from here, and I'm really grateful for just the opportunity to really do all of this. It means a lot to me to kind of be a representation for my people and a representation of the neighborhood that I grew up in.
Wonderful. And Corey, before we go any further, first and foremost, I'll probably do it again before we close, but I want to thank you for running. And I mean that sincerely. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
What talents or experience will you bring to this position?
So I like to think of the city council position as a sort of bridge between the powers and the people. I look at city councilors as sort of mediators between the neighborhood voices and the administration. I work at the Brain Center in downtown Pittsfield. Okay. I do a lot of community engagement and outreach with individuals in recovery and individuals that are suffering from substance abuse and mental health issues and other areas like that. I look at this as sort of an evolution of that and trying to care for our community on a wider scale and just touch different people. It's an evolution in myself and the work that we're already doing, honestly.
And again, with your background with the homeless issues and the addiction issues and all of those kinds of things, I think you would be an asset at that point. That's just my opinion. And of course, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, WTBR, PCTV, or the person out at Big Y looking for the Maristano cherries. I think that's how you say it. Anyhow, why have you chosen to? I mean, you started to outline it, but it's a big step. I mean, it's to me, it's a commitment. And are you ready to make that commitment?
100%. So it's sort of a commitment that I've already made. It's a lot of work, but it feels like very natural. It feels very natural to do the community engagement. It's very natural to knock on doors and talk to people, which I think is honestly the most important part of the job. I think the most important part of what we're doing is working together and actually having the sit-down conversations with people. I live here. You know, I'm from here. I win, lose, or draw, I'll still be a member of this community. It's a community that I take a great pride in. And it's coming from my background in recovery and the different things I've been through in life. The city of Pittsfield was kind of the place that gave me the tools and the foundation to rebuild my life, being in recovery myself.
Wow.
I feel like I kind of owe that energy back. And I feel like if I can pay that energy back in any way, shape, or form, it would mean the world to me, honestly.
You're coming with a commitment and a cause. That's always, to me, those are a couple of important things that, and I applaud you for it, you know, I really do. If elected, would you be willing to serve as an officer or a committee chair?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's, and again, in your opinion now, what do you believe are the most urgent concerns that need to be addressed in the city over the next 2 years?
So this may lead into more questions, which I'm 100% here for, and I hope I don't. I tend to overtalk, so I apologize if I do and I talk too much.
No,
so,
let me just tell you, this is your half hour. You do
perfect.
With it. I just ask questions.
So actually, in developing like our campaign platform, that was a major question that we asked people. Going just door to door and sitting down with individuals and families across our neighborhoods, a lot of our conversations were revolving around what are the issues that you see that you want to see addressed. When we were developing our platform, I put a huge emphasis on it being a sort of people-based platform. I wanted to develop the platform with people. I wanted to develop the platform kind of as a unit, and I wanted it to represent all of us as neighbors, as a community, as individuals. I didn't want it to just be about me and like what I wanted. And I thought it was really important that even going into the position, even going into the job itself, I wanted to sort of bring people with me. I wanted to bring every person that I talked to with me to the best of my abilities. There's definitely a lot of issues that specifically face Ward 2 that don't necessarily afflict other neighborhoods to the same degree, being downtown and being that we have a higher income disparity in 2A and 2B than in other neighborhoods.
Yep.
We have sort of a cultural clash and a lot of different voices that all say different things, but at the same time, all want unity, all want equality. We all want to exist on the same plateau.
Yeah.
The biggest issues that we felt, that we heard, just canvassing door to door, were the economic output, economic uncertainty facing Berkshire County in general, and specifically downtown Pittsfield. Infrastructure issues, because all the construction going on in the summer, always, and the potholes every winter, it's always a talking point. You cannot have a platform that doesn't address potholes. I'm sorry.
No.
You know?
Not in this city.
Yeah, and then mental health concerns and substance abuse concerns. Without latching too much onto current events and ongoing issues, there is a lot of discussions on the local scene relevant to sort of the uptick in panhandling and unhoused individuals. And that was a major concern in downtown Pittsfield, just from different residents and different people that kind of wanted to see that addressed in a way that still kept the humanity and dignity of those that, you know, needed it addressed for. If elected, that would 100% be our biggest three priorities going into it.
Okay.
Our immediate concerns would be trying to create safer spaces for individuals suffering from mental health issues or substance abuse afflictions.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk of safe injection sites in an attempt to possibly implement something like that or something similar here to sort of take people away from public spaces where other people might be uncomfortable and create safe spaces for individuals where they would be around professionals and not have to worry about the risk of overdose, of infections, of other things. If we had a space where trained staff could take care of individuals, we would have hopefully less of a need and less of a strain on our emergency services. We also, for infrastructure issues, such as our potholes and our paving projects and our sidewalks, I work and meet regularly with individuals from Public Works. I actually just had a meeting a few weeks ago with the head of Public Works to actually talk about just this. There is a lot of kind of discussion around the city budget and a lot of discussion around worker availability. So that leads us into our third and our other most important topic of our platform and of our discussions, which were our economic uncertainty and potential job trainings and workforce placement. We were hoping we could potentially knock out two birds with one stone and perhaps solve our issues in a more unique way by creating tax-based incentives for employers to create training and workforce development programs to train hopefully a next generation of workers that could fill necessary roles for public works. We really need people. We really need bodies. We need laborers. We need licensed drivers. We are short-staffed as it is across almost every sector, and the more we can fill these roles, the better our city will be. It'll make our city a lot more self-sufficient, and it'll incentivize employers to train people to keep the knowledge that people learn here, keep it here, to keep, to keep us, keep us revolving. We struggle, I think, as a whole, as an area, to retain qualified individuals. We struggle because you can go to the city an hour away, and a lot of people get their licenses and they want to go and take that for an extra $10 an hour. If we can create incentives for people to stay here, to keep that knowledge here, and to share that knowledge and expand on that knowledge with other individuals in our community, we'll end up with a community of very knowledgeable people, very smart individuals, and we'll end up with a community that's self-sufficient, self-sustaining, and a community that we're even more proud of than we already are. If we can foster that growth, if we can develop our own people here, I think that would be really huge and really beneficial. A huge amount of all of these conversations, they were developed sort of with the input from people that we talk to every day. I kind of wanted to sit with people and say, okay, here's what we want to do. How do we want to do this together? In what way are we all comfortable doing this? A lot of people want the same things, but don't necessarily know how to do that in a way that works for everybody involved. And I wanted to create a sort of space that worked for everybody, that didn't compromise too much on any end, and in a space that fostered more of a growth of our own community. I 100% think that Pittsfield itself as a whole, not just Ward 2, but Pittsfield as a collective, is a very vibrant place. And I think that we have, hands down, when we come together, one of the strongest communities that I've ever been blessed to be a part of. And the more that we can create these incentives and initiatives to, include everybody and give people that sort of aspiration to want to do more for where we already are, I think the better for us.
I just want I want you to go on, but I want to just circle back. I have to tell you, I'm very impressed. You went out before you were even on the ballot, say to speak, and you solicited input from your constituents. And from that, you've built a very dynamic, I think, challenging, but dynamic platform that you can articulate. And I think that's for the people watching, that is, to me is a wonderful thing that you've done and that you've taken this initiative because now you have a real feel about. I refer to people like myself as Joe and Mary Sixpack. We're just trying to get by. I'm retired. I used to be on a fixed income. Now I'm on a shrinking income. And I think it's wonderful the initiative you've taken. I just had to say that. When we go back, you're in the mental health business. I mean, you're employed by the Breen. How do we attract more health, mental health practitioners to come here? Because we're desperately in need of more people.
Trust me, I know.
I know. That's why I'm asking.
I do hope that with the implementation of safe injection sites and hopefully new and improved community resource centers, I hope that that alone would attract people with higher wages and higher training and growth opportunities. I think that to a certain extent, mental health currently is a field that is under attack, but also at the same time, very much so evolving because of that. And I think that the key to fostering a certain sense of growth is fostering a sense of development. If people think of Pittsfield as a sort of hub where when they come, they get better, no matter what it is they're trying to do, no matter what sector they work in, I think it attracts people to want to come here. I think it sort of becomes a place and almost a destination. And it becomes something that people really get excited to say that they were a part of. I think that specifically right now, we kind of face a place where there is so much uncertainty when it comes to the future of this field, of this profession, and of almost across every sector with the rise of AI and with the constant budget cuts and things like that. There's a sort of uncertainty for a lot of people to even want to enter this space because they don't necessarily know what's going to become of them if they do. I think that if we create initiatives and we create reasons for people to want to come here, we can make this almost a sort of travel destination for people in this field that want to work here. We can create a space where people are proud to work here, and more importantly, where people feel like their contributions to the people that live here are really valued.
Go ahead, please.
This work that I do here, it's changed my entire life. I didn't picture myself doing this before, and I cannot picture myself doing anything else. I can't picture myself working in a different space where we don't engage with people, where we don't help people. There is no more rewarding thing in the world than to sit here and have somebody come to see you on the worst day of their life or in the worst phase of their life and help them put that back together.
Yeah.
For myself in particular, it means a lot more to me on a personal level because I've been there myself. And to help people kind of find their own light and to help them realize that, like, they can light the way, there's nothing more fulfilling. It is creating a purest energy. It's creating a higher vibration in its purest form. And if we can put that, if we can hone that, if we can create a sort of community of light, a community filled with love, a community filled with support on every level, both professional and otherwise, I think that we'll have a place that people don't want to leave. We'll have a place that people want to come, and we're going to have a place that people want to stay.
That was very good, by the way. And I think you've touched on a lot of chords that a lot of us here, we see, we hear. I think this current administration, as with past administration, is really grappling with it because it's now manifested itself on the main street. That's my opinion. I want to ask, what committees would you like to be assigned to?
The Mental Health Committee, 100%, just because it means a lot to me. I believe that there is a Board of Health Committee as well, or a board similar to that. And there is a Poverty Committee, I believe, or something of that nature. I can't remember the exact name because there's a lot of them. But those three would ideally be the ones that are closest to my heart. And they're, in all honesty, closest to the population that I represent. Being in downtown Pittsfield, we have some of the most prevalent income disparity compared to the rest of the town. The individuals living, you know, in 2A have far different concerns and a whole world of difference in perspective than the individuals living in 2B. So being there, being able to expand the work we're already doing on the front lines, I think it would just mean a lot and be the closest to my heart to do. And I think it would be the place I can make the most impact.
What do you think some of those disparities are? I want the viewers and listeners to hear. I think I have a pretty good sense, but
So, in all honesty, I'd want to circle back and touch on something that you actually said leading into this point, because that's
Okay.
something that means a lot to me.
Please.
There's a huge, significant part of our population, primarily in downtown, but there's a huge, significant part of the area's population in general that gets up every single day. They make less than $25 an hour.
Yep.
They're paying $1,500 a month in rent with nothing included for a one-bedroom apartment that's considered affordable nowadays. They are getting up every single day, day in and day out, and they're grinding their hearts out, and they feel very stagnant, and they feel like often all that work that they're putting in isn't significant and it doesn't mean anything, especially in a 24/7 news cycle world where you constantly see headlines of billionaires and millionaires doing all these different things with obscene amounts of wealth. I think a lot of people, the work in the working class, they feel like they're very small. They feel like they're shrinking. And a huge part of what I want to do and sort of restore the pride to the person that gets up every day and goes to work. There should be a sense of pride for doing the right thing. There should be a sense of dignity that comes from getting up and going to your 9-to-5 job every day, because that is something to be proud of. You're building a life for yourself. You're trying your best to create a career for yourself, and you're trying your best just to keep your head above water. And I think we kind of forget the person a lot. And a huge part of the space that I'm in has been talking to people and not just focusing on the positions and the employment, but focusing on the person underneath it. How do we make the worker feel powerful again? How do we restore the dignity to that person that should feel that should feel a pride in doing the right thing and trying to put their best foot forward? A really huge part of my own recovery and a huge thing that we say has been, no matter what you do, just focus on doing the next right thing, and the plan will be revealed to you when you're ready to see it. I think that everybody in the world should be rewarded for doing the next right thing. I don't think it's just something that you do. I think that if you don't sit there and restore the pride and dignity to the people that are doing the right thing, there's not going to be an incentive for them to continue going to do it. And I think that a huge part of what we do has to be not just raising wages for workers, but instituting certain legislature in certain situations where people can survive. I don't on the wages that they're making now, on the wages that are available to them. The most significant portion of our population makes between $18 to $25 an hour.
Wow.
And there was a point 5 years ago where if you would have been making $20, $21 an hour or 22, people would have been really excited for that. They would have been
That's
proud of that.
right.
They would
Yeah.
have been able to survive off of that. For myself, one of the very first jobs I had when I got into recovery was for the city of Pittsfield. I was making $18 an hour. I had an apartment. I had a car. I was able to sustain myself. That same exact job now, considered, would not be able to pay for your $1,500 rent. It would not be able to pay for an apartment with everything. It would not be able to, it wouldn't allow you to stand on your own 2 feet. And I think that that's almost a huge part of the American dream for a lot of people. It's a huge
It
part of adulthood, that ability to be independent. And I think that we need to sort of restore that, restore the hope, restore the excitement to want to do these things. You know, even to a young kid that's 18 or 19, you're going to sit here and tell them, oh, well, you can have this career trajectory, and they will look at you and they will tell you, for what? What's the point?
Yeah.
Because they'll sit there and wonder and see in real world examples that it's not working out for anybody else. I think that we need to restore a balance of power here, and we need to restore power to the individual, and we need to restore the pride to them. There are measures currently on a state level being done to implement rent control across
Right.
Massachusetts. I'm currently a huge pusher of that agenda, trying to collect signatures on that for the ballot. I think that things like that would be really huge for our area. I don't want to take away from the landlords that are huge for our local economy, but I do think that to a certain degree, it is starting to take away from the people that make up our economy. And I don't think that can individuals and families especially should be feeling so squeezed by forces that are out of their control. We need to get people back into family building mode. We need to get young people especially back into home buying mode. We
Yeah.
need to get people that want to be homeowners. We need to and want to feel a pride in doing that rather than feeling like it's something so far out of reach and unattainable that there's no point in even pursuing it.
You
We need to
certainly have
restore that.
put I'm sorry.
You're okay. Go ahead.
You certainly have put a well-structured campaign, in my humble opinion. One last thing, and then I'm going to give you like 3 to 4 minutes to ask to vote to whatever you want. It'll be your closing statement. So, but before I do that, how many hours a week do you think you're going to be putting in? It is a time-consuming job. And how many hours a week do you think you're going to have to assigned to that job, as if you should be elected?
As many as it takes. Okay. I don't necessarily have a cutoff point where there's a point in the day where I don't want to help anybody anymore, or I don't want to listen to people. As many hours in the day that I can allot, I'm 100% here to listen, to hear people, and to help. It's part of our nature as human beings to uplift each other. It's part of our nature as a community to lean on each other and to build each other up. And I don't think that we honestly can put a time on that.
You, as I said in the beginning of this interview, I want to thank all of the candidates, but you right now, I want to thank you for running. I wish you the best of luck. The city of Pittsfield needs good leadership. It has a good mayor. Now we need a strong council, strong school committee, because there's going to be some tough rows ahead to hoe. You know, no one knows what the federal budget's going to be, and that directly affects all the others. Go ahead. You have about 3 minutes to give us your closing statement and why people should vote for you.
First, I would like to say thank you for giving me this space and this platform, and thank you to the residents and citizens of Pittsfield. I cannot do this without you. And as city councilors, we cannot do this without your voice, without your input. I will not beg and plead for you to vote for me. I will beg and plead for you to work with me. I want to sit down with every single person in our community to the best of our abilities and do something that works for all of us. I want to hear everything that you have to say. I want to work with you. I want to be your friend. I want to go out for coffee with you. I want to hear your best ideas, and I want to hear how you want to do this. I don't think we can do anything alone, but I think we can do everything together. And it's my highest honor and my greatest pleasure to represent you all, to be a part of something amazing with you all. There's nowhere else I'd rather do this. There's no place I would rather be, and there's no place that I'm more proud to be from. Thank you all for everything. Thank you for everything you've done for me. I hope that I can do just as much for you. It means everything to me.
And all I must say is you must get out and vote. I don't care who you vote for. That's not my job. My job is to get you out to vote. This is a midterm election. The predictions for turnout are abysmal. But we're working here. Corey and I and everybody who comes on this program, every candidate wants you to get out and vote. They've worked hard. It's not hard to vote in Pittsfield. If you're not in and out in 10 minutes, and you went at lunchtime when everybody goes. But Corey, again, thank you for running. Thank you for your sincerity. Thank you for coming on this program, and best of luck. And folks, please, please, please vote. You drive around those cemeteries, you see all those flags. At some point in time, every one of those people put their name on the dotted line to die for this country and your right to vote. So please don't tell me you're too busy. And then, as I have a stand, if you don't vote, don't gripe. There we go. Corey, the very best. Thank you for getting up and coming on. Of course, you're up. So.
Thank you so much for having me. It means the world to me to share this platform with you and to be a part of all of this. There's no higher honor. Thank you.
Thank you, and good luck.
Thank you.